The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life settles in your soul.
That is indeed the soul of Jefferson. I am Janet Chandler, and I am your only host this morning. Terry is under the weather. Wynn is dealing with a friend emergency, and I am here to talk about whatever happens within the next week. Everybody is aware, I am sure, that there is an election coming up. Some of you may already have voted. And you can hear all about the election on KCNR, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio show, online at kcnrradio.com. If you wish to call in this morning and comment on any of the topics that we are discussing, 530-605-4567. I have campaign literature coming out my ears. I am sure that all of you have been subjected to the same barrage. We're going to look at some of that campaign literature and see exactly what it says, what it implies, and what it doesn't say, and how you should be very wary of what it's suggesting to you. We're also going to be talking about a state split. James Gallagher has been pushing for this. And we are going to be looking at what he's doing, what it implies for you, and what is actually happening as far as the state split goes, and how that differs from some of the other programs that have been suggested for solving the problems with California. We also have information from Rich Gallardo about Brown Act violations at the county level. So, let's get into this. I was not aware that Donald Trump was a candidate for governor in California. But from some of the information that's been sent to me, it seems that the Democrats are running against Trump. I don't know why. I thought Hilton and Chad Bianco were the two leading Republican candidates, but apparently the Democrats think that by voting against Hilton or Bianco, you are voting against Trump. So that shows just who they're worried about. They're worried about Hilton particularly. Trump endorsed Steve Hilton to bring the MAGA agenda to California. You can't trust Trump Republican Steve Hilton. It's time to take out the trash. Take out Donald Trump and Steve Hilton. We can stop them both. When you get this campaign literature, one of the best things you can do is look at the bottom, the small print, and see who is sending it to you, who is paying for this, and oh, for goodness sake, this literature does not come cheap. It costs a fortune to mail this out, especially when they're mailing it out, I guess, all over California, because it's a waste of time to mail it out to areas that are not likely to vote Democrat, which would be the North State. But I have gotten lots of information. If Steve Hilton wins, Trump will have his way with California. God forbid that we should have something other than the Republican, the Democrats, who have been doing such a good job. In fact, one of the campaign brochures that I got, Steve Hilton is Donald Trump's hand-picked candidate for governor. I don't think so. I don't think that Donald Trump went out and said, Steve Hilton, I want you to run. There's also the comment, Trump Republican Steve Hilton would stop the progress we've made in California. Please, would someone call in and tell me what progress we have made in California? We are running out of gas. Our refineries are closing. The green energy deals are breaking us. Taxes are increasing. Homelessness is a problem. What progress have we made? Education is faltering. California can't even teach its students to read. I'm not sure what progress they are talking about. Perhaps you have an idea. At the local level, I have received campaign brochures from Joanna Francesca and from Kevin Cry. I have one of his campaign brochures. One of the interesting things that I saw, and I am not advocating positions here. I am just looking at analyzing campaign literature. I want you to look at these things seriously and find out what they actually are saying and what they are not saying. One of the things on Joanna's campaign literature says, keep elections safe and open. Well, keep them safe and open. That means they're already safe and open, and she wants to keep them that way, but apparently they are already safe and open under our current ROV clerk, and that would be Clint Curtis. Follow the law. That's what she says her commitment is, to follow the law. Well, I would assume they're all going to follow the law. I'm sure that Clint Curtis was not sending out campaign brochures saying, I intend not to follow the law. Joanna will take your input and stand up for what our community needs. Totally two non-consecutor statements there. She's going to take your input and stand up for what our community needs, not necessarily the same thing. Kevin Cry has a campaign brochure that is quite effective, and I am not voting for Kevin Cry because I'm not in his district, so I'm totally non-biased on this one. But at least he lists the things that he has done, what he intends to do, and what he is supporting. So it is full of information, not just platitudes, which is interesting. Another interesting campaign brochure comes from Jared Huffman. It sounds like he is supporting Robin Littaw to run against him. He lists all of the things that he does and all of the things that Robin Littaw does, and you're supposed to say, oh, horrors, why would we ever vote for Robin Littaw? But, of course, in our area, it sounds like the things that we want, such as supporting mandatory voter ID requirements and other GOP voting reforms. We have Measure B on our ballot, which does that very thing. It sounds to me as if Jared Huffman wants to run against Robin Littaw in the general election in November. He wants that to be the candidate because apparently he thinks he can beat her. So then you ask, well, who does he think he can't beat? Which candidate does he not want to run against? So look into that. See who else is running and who he might be afraid of instead of Robin Littaw. Campaign literature too often ends up in the trash can at the post office, or it ends up in the trash can when you get home. It should not. That campaign literature is as important for what it doesn't say as for what it does say. Analyze it. Look at it. See what these people are trying to tell you. An election is an important event in our political lives. We should all be involved, and we should all be looking at it carefully. With the new redistricting, the North State has no representation. We have been thrown into a Democrat district in which it will be almost impossible for a Republican to win. Why are they doing this? Where is our representation? We're guaranteed a Republican representative form of government. Why don't we have it? And what can we do about it? Well, James Gallagher, who is not our representative, he represents the District South, he has decided that there is absolutely no way that California can be representative the way it is. It is rural versus urban. It is conservative versus liberal. It is West Coast versus Central California. And he came up with a plan for a state split. There have been lots of state split suggestions in the past, and James Gallagher has come up with one that is very simple. It is not chiseled in stone as to boundaries or borders. He is just saying that there is a new way to look at California, and that is not to divide it between north and south. It's to divide it between east and west. And he wrote out an initiative, and he has been sending this throughout the state to counties. At this point, we have had approval by county boards of supervisors for James Gallagher's state split. Modoc, Sutter, Yuba, Lassen, Colusa, Glenn, and Shasta County Boards of Supervisors have all looked at this resolution by James Gallagher for a state split, and they have voted in favor of it. They have given their approval to this idea. There is a question about Butte and Nevada counties, and I'm not quite sure where they stand right now, if they have already endorsed it or if they are working on it. But just think of that, at least seven counties in the North State. Now, I know it sounds like resurrecting the old state of Jefferson idea, and you're not far wrong on that one. Those are counties that were originally in the state of Jefferson movement. So it is we in the North that still believe that we deserve representation and that we should have representation. There is a group of people in Colusa County that have been working very hard. Vanessa and Lauren, I'll give a shout out to them, to get this before the boards of supervisors, present it to them, and have them vote on this. And of course, the more boards that say, yeah, we agree, then the easier it is for other boards to say, oh, well, yes, I agree with them too. If you are in a county that has not yet declared through the boards of supervisors, get busy. Get out there. Talk to your county board. Tell them what's going on. If you want a good idea of what some of us believe should be done, there is a website you can go to. It is californiastatesplit.com. californiastatesplit.com. There is a rationale as to why we believe that there should be four distinct states made out of the state of California. Right now, James Gallagher has shown his as being between the east and the west. It's kind of a coastal California and the rest of California. And if you look at the map of California, you will see that the liberal areas tend to be along the coast. San Francisco, L.A., everything that's right there along the ocean, San Diego to a certain degree. It extends as far up as Humboldt County. Those tend to be rather liberal. The rest of California does not have a lot in common with those coastal counties. The rest of California is lower population density. It is agriculture. It is rural, mountainous. And we are being told what to do by the rest of California. I look at what's going on in Los Angeles now, and maybe there is hope. How bad does it have to get before the people in Los Angeles City say enough? And right now, there is an interesting political battle going on between Spencer Pratt and Mayor Karen Bass and Rahman, I think she's a city councilman. They're all running for the position of mayor. why would you continue to elect Mayor Bass when she has done absolutely nothing for the city of Los Angeles except drive it into the ground? After the disastrous Pacific Palisades fire, how could anyone support that woman? And yet California seems to be intent upon digging its own grave. As bad as things get, they want to continue to make it look worse. It's getting that bad in Northern California. We are being represented by people who do not understand rural California. They do not understand that we are not an urban area. We do not want to live in stack and pack 15-minute cities. We do not want wolves in our backyard. We are totally opposed to grizzly bears being introduced into our forests. We do not want windmill farms on the ridges or around our area. Solar doesn't do us much good up here. It is not conducive with the sunlight and trees to have solar. We do not want electric cars. We do not want electric school buses. We cannot live the way that they live in the urban areas. If you remember back several years to the fire tax that urban California imposed on rural California, because we lived in a rural area, we were assessed a yearly tax on our property. We had to suffer the consequences of the actions of people who don't know us and our lives. And that's exactly what's happening in California. So isn't it time to split the state? I know. Native Californians, I've lived in California all my life. I want to be a Californian. Okay, fine. Then we can have North California, Central California, East California, and West California. They'll still be California. But how much are you willing to put up with being told what to do, what you can't do, and how you can do it? It is time to rethink the experiment of California. If you wish to be in a progressive, urban, not conservative, but liberal area, you should be allowed to do that. If that's the way you like your state to be run, then live in Western California. The rest of us want our republic back. We want our representation back. There are several things that we can change if we decide to split the state. There are several areas in which we will be different from Western California. One thing, we will get to that. We have a caller. Mark, you are on the line.
Hey, Janet, how you doing, sir?
I'm feeling really lonely here. I'm glad you called in.
Well, you know, it's kind of funny. We're on our way. We're in the car, and we're driving out to Crater Lake just to look around. And right now we're driving through dope country in Siskiyou County, where the Chinese Communist Party and the Hmong and the Crips and the Bloods are all growing dope in our backyard so they can sell it at the elementary school at your house.
It's a war zone.
Well, it is, but so is California. I mean, California under single party rule, under the mono party, this isn't my phrase, somebody else thought of it, but I'm going to use it. They have what I call suicidal empathy. I mean, they will vote for anybody that will cut their own throat. And that's what we've done. This state has no representation other than the party that will cut your own throat. You pay $2 a gallon more for gas than any other state in the union, even right now. And the guy from Chevron, when Newsom ran Chevron out of the state of California so that he could save the world, of course, the guy at Chevron, he put signs in his gas stations. Sacramento did this. You look at, I have an app on my flight computer that shows me gas prices, and you cross the border, it's $2 cheaper than it is in California. Well, gee, how did that happen? And it all came from a court case called Gray versus Sanders, where a California governor, Chief Justice Earl Warren, did something that deprived all rural counties and all of rural America of representation. And the dissenting Judge Frankfurter, he said that if we do this, we'll create a nation that has an entirely city point of view. And guess what we have now? We have states where two or three cities can outvote the rest of the state. So in two or three places you have representation, the rest of the state has none. They're subjects and serfs and slaves to the cities and the government that the cities create through the Service Employees International Union, the California Teachers Association, CalPERS. And by the way, those groups march with the American Communist Party in the May Day parades. Why the hell would you want to vote for someone who wants to make your life so miserable that you have to leave the place you were born in order to recapture any semblance of a good life? Who would vote for these people?
Well, apparently people who do not know what's going on and only look for a D to vote next to.
Or they know what's going on, but they enjoy being a victim so much, they're willing to commit suicide, economic and cultural suicide, in order to prove that they're empathetic to the oppressed masses.
I think it's interesting that the Democrats have brought in illegal aliens and also legal aliens, legal people, into our state. And Victor Davis Hanson, who is a farmer and an intellectual in the Central Valley, talks about the second and third generation Mexicans who do not follow the Democrat Party. They realize that the Democrats are not there to help them, and these are the very people that the Democrats think that they're helping.
Well, I mean, even the famous or infamous Cesar Chavez, depending upon your point of view, he was very against illegal immigration because it destroyed the wages for his union people, the United Farm Workers, and unfettered illegal immigration depresses wages for guys like that, and so he didn't like it. I mean, no one with a brain thinks we should just throw open the border and let millions and millions of people come here and commit crimes and suck off social services, which they don't pay for.
And which we do not have the money for. The state is broke. The state is in debt. The state has to have a balanced budget. So what are they going to do? They want to spend our money on projects that do nothing for us but take away our level of living. So why would anybody vote Democrat?
Well, I mean, number one, they'll balance the budget by cooking the books. I think Newsom already did that. You know, he denies the fact that we're almost $2 trillion in debt in unfunded liabilities alone, not to mention $30 or $40 billion in budget deficit. But there is no place in California that you can go and look at the numbers to find out how much the counties pay to the state and how much the state gives back to the counties and how much the state spends and what they spend it on. And even the California Office of Budget doesn't know. So it's easy to cook the books here, which is the way they like it, because that's how crooks are, and that's how Gavin Newsom is. So he cooked the books to eliminate the deficit. Now he claims the budget's balanced when a week ago it wasn't. But, you know, liars lie. It's what they do. And he is Donald Trump names, and he does. And no matter what position he puts us in, and no matter how he destroys our life, somehow it's Trump's fault.
Yes, because Orange Man bad, no matter what else is going on. It's interesting that they keep talking about they're going to destroy our democracy, which, of course, if you know anything about government, we don't want a democracy. It is pure majority rule. That's what a democracy is. The majority rules. And that's what we have in California. We have the legislature, the governor, the courts. They are of one party. So this is what democracy looks like. It looks like denying rights to the rest of the people who are in the minority. So if you like being told what to do and not having a say in government, then democracy is for you. But
as the old saying goes, what is democracy? It's two wolves and a lamb talking about what's for dinner. And what's a constitutional republic? it's two wolves and a well-armed lamb talking about what's for dinner.
Exactly, yes. And, of course, if you have half a brain, you know that the Founding Fathers did not want a democracy because a democracy always fails.
Yeah, I mean, Jefferson had a big discussion with a lot of his friends. There were a lot of letters written back and forth, and, you know, they were discussing what is the best form of government. Is it democracy? Is it monarchy? Is it theological? Is it, you know, this is that? And he came up with the Constitutional Republic. It's not perfect, but it's by far the best form of government because, yes, the majority rules, but the minority, no matter who that minority is, maintains their rights. And believe me, that minority thing, that's a pendulum that's constantly swinging. One day it's one set of people that loses their rights, but another day it's you. And so it is incumbent upon all of us to maintain representation for ourselves and our rural counties and our resource counties, because now we are in the minority, and believe me, the majority, they have one goal in mind, to take our stuff. And that's all they think about all day, every day.
But, of course, the same rules do not apply to them. We're never going to take their stuff because they're in charge. Interestingly enough, democracy comes from the Greek demos, people, rule of the people. And republic comes from res publica, the Latin, which is rule, the thing of the people, and that thing is the rule of law. So a democracy is rule of the mob, and a republic is rule of law. You cannot just do what you want. It has to be according to law. Which is interesting because in California, if the government sees something that its citizens want and that the government doesn't like, then it suddenly passes a law banning that very thing. And we've seen that happen in Shasta County over and over. So,
just look at the legislature. They just passed the Stop Nick Shirley law. In other words, here's a guy who is investigating fraud on a scale that is probably in California several hundred billion dollars a year worth of fraud involving both state and federal money. In other words, someone is stealing several hundred billion dollars of your money and my money every single year in California, and this young guy with an iPhone went out and found a bunch of it and reported on it. And it embarrassed the Democratic leadership because guess what happens with a lot of that fraud money? It gets donated back to the Democratic Party so that they can maintain power because that's who initiates the fraud, right? So it's one hand feeding the other. And Nick Shirley discovers this. He reports it. People are horrified about it. So what do? They pass a law against discovering fraud.
Right. We can't have Nick Shirley out here showing what we are doing. The high-speed rail, everybody is saying, well, when are they going to build the high-speed rail? What's holding it up? They're never going to build the high-speed rail because every time money is projected for that project, it goes to other people. They siphon it off. We're now talking about the homeless industrial complex. There is no reason to end homelessness when you are siphoning off all of that money to go to you and your cronies. These things will never be solved. They weren't meant to be solved.
Well,
they were meant to be projects.
Several billion dollars worth of fire aid never made it to the people whose houses burned down.
And it never was intended to. And that's what's become of California, particularly. It is rife with corruption. There is nothing working in California because of corruption.
And there are so many rabbit trails that go down Alice's rabbit hole. We could chase those all day long. But here's the bottom line. As Thomas Paine said in his little booklet, oddly enough, called Common Sense, as the colonies grow in size, the representative body must also grow so that all parts of the colony, remember, it doesn't say one man, one vote anywhere. It says all parts of the community remain well represented because, quite frankly, you know, desert communities need different stuff than forested communities, and urban communities need different things than rural communities, but we all have to have representation, or a lot of people don't get what they want and need. And what Justice Frankfurter said was, if we do this in Gray versus Sanders, which created the, quote, one man, one vote principle, where all state elections must be conducted under apportionment schemes instead of geographic representation, which California had for, you know, 100 years. If once we went to the one man, one vote, then, of course, Los Angeles has 15 state senators, and our state senator shares 15 counties.
And it is not fair, and it will not be. Mark, thank you for calling in. We have to go on a break, and then we are going to take a call from Steve.
For me, the best part of my day is when a commercial loan actually closes. The owner of the business, they finally have the cash to go do what they want to do to grow their business. They might have stressed about this, hoping it would all work, and when it all comes together as planned, it's a win-win for everyone. So I like that. I like it when people are happy, like, yes, they got the money, because it can be very stressful.
Plumas Bank. Experienced bankers. Real solutions. Visit plumasbank.com.
Ready to turn your dreams into reality? At Simpson University, we offer a private Christian education that enriches your academic journey with faith and purpose. Whether you're pursuing your undergraduate degree, completing your degree, or advancing through graduate studies, our dynamic programs, personalized mentorship, and vibrant community are here to support you. Discover how Simpson University can help you achieve your goals and grow spiritually. Visit simpsonu.edu today to learn more. Simpson University, where your potential is limitless.
Planning a wedding? Celebrate the moment with a free dinner for two at Odell Craft Barbecue. With our slow-smoked brisket that melts in your mouth, even Texans say it's some of the best they've ever had. We cater events and weddings of all sizes, from intimate gatherings to receptions of 1,000 guests. We make delicious food and great service, so you can stay present with the people who matter. Odell Craft Barbecue, real wood, real fire, real flavor. Book your free tasting at ReddingBarbecue.com. Again, book your free tasting at ReddingBarbecue.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Maria Salas, owner of HealthWise Chiropractic. My focus is to help people feel better, look better, and take control of their health with a simple, life-changing plan. It starts with smarter eating choices and adding the right amount of protein to support gut health and reduce inflammation. You'll also receive weekly accountability coaching, a free guide, and a complimentary consultation with me, Dr. Maria Salas. Ready to feel your best? Call or text 530-227-3984.
At Stifel Nicolaus, I am committed to offering investors personalized investment guidance. Stifel is a full-service organization with department staff with professionals that specialize in a wide range of investment opportunities. We strive to give each account, regardless of size, careful individual attention. This is financial advisor Susan Eastman at 530-244-7199. Let's talk today about a personalized plan. Again, that number, 530-244-7199.
And we are back with Jefferson State of Mind. Steve, what do you have to say?
Well, I got a couple things. Number one, there was a comment made up here in Siskiyou County about why the person was voting for Steve Hilton, which I can't believe. I mean, to me, he's a foreigner. He's only been here a few years. It just doesn't make sense. He's smart, brilliant. He's got a lot of money. I give him all of that. He could be a very good governor, I suppose, but my vote is for Bianca, Sheriff Bianca. He's a fighter. He knows how to get in there and throw the punches. But what the comment was that Bianca was for giving the immigrants free passage into the country, so to speak. I'm not sure exactly clear about what he meant. But what I understand is that he is giving amnesty to the people that were given amnesty back, you know, what, 30, 40 years ago?
Oh, it's happened two or three times.
Right, and that's illegal. I didn't agree with that in the first place. We have a law that you have to come in here legally, period. But we've had governors in the past who have made this amnesty thing. And so some of these people came in, and I have a very, very dear, dear friend, Julio, who came in, worked for me for years. Now he's a very dear friend. And he's so close to getting, finally, after 30-some years of getting his citizenship, he just told me the other day, I was down there in Salinas, and I stopped by real quick to say hello. And he's so close. And he's a minister, and he's going to tell his people in the church who to vote for, because he believes in me, and I believe in Bianca. Either way, we can't lose, I don't think, with either Steve or Chad.
Yes, the problem is that we have two good Republican candidates, but we have at least three Democrats who are also gaining power or support. It would be nice if we could pick one Republican, everybody get behind that one candidate, and then have a real good shot at winning the governorship. So
Totally agree. And that's the problem, is that we're splitting the vote. And, you know, the wrong information has been given out there. I mean, I can't say enough for Chad and what he's done with Riverside County. It's in the records.
Yes, what he's done. I think right now, Hilton is actually the leading contender for governor. And Becerra and Steyer are behind him.
Yeah, the other thing I wanted to say is that there's so much bickering going on. And, you know, all Jesus asked for was the God consciousness in every one of us. If we develop a God consciousness in our souls, in our being, then a lot of this bickering and this back and forth and this kind of hatred in the world would go away.
And we have a chance to make our wishes known on Tuesday for the election. Thank you, Steve, for the call.
Amen.
Yes, we have another caller. Rich, you are on.
I just wanted to be on the air while you talk about my Brown Act allegations in case I needed to answer a specific question.
Well, yes, I was hoping you would call in because I do have the information. So what is going on with the Brown Act now?
So this past Thursday they had a special meeting, and a special meeting is defined as not an emergency, not a standard meeting, but a special, which requires 24 hours agenda notice, which they did 2 days prior. However, at the very the beginning of the meeting, Joe Larmore, county council, asks the board, hey, I'd like to add a last-minute item due to a recent filing. And they did. They added it, literally added it, at the last minute, and then it went into closed session. And so there's so many things wrong with that. Now, they came out of closed session with no action on that particularly immediately added item. So they skirted the misdemeanor violation. However, they did still violate the Brown Act by they did not put an addendum online with the proper 24 hours notice for that very same special meeting. And the code very clear, the government code very clear on special meetings. The verbiage is very similar to no other items shall be heard. The word shall is in there, and Janet, you know exactly what that means.
Yeah, that's not ambiguous. Nope.
They added a previous lawsuit from Jane Doe, also known as Katsky. That's what they added.
So obviously, I don't expect the Board of Supervisors members to be completely versant with the Brown Act. It's complex. But I would expect...
No, I do.
I would expect Larmer to be up on it so he can advise them correctly. So is the error coming from Larmer's recommendation?
It's all of them, Janet. They're all complicit, including Dave Rickert, including Stephanie Blankenship. They all of them, if you watch multiple meetings in the board over the last several years, they've all talked about, well, excuse me, Chair, we need to do this in that order, or you're not supposed to do this until that happens. They've all corrected actions in the chambers regarding potential Brown Act violations. Dave Rickert, maybe not Dave, but the rest of them, yes. And the board, they've all been there 2 years or so or longer. And something as basic as public notice before you put something on an agenda for public discussion, Janet, nobody could be there to talk about that item the minute before they went into closed session because they added it last minute. I don't give any of those board members a pass on one of the very basic parts of the Brown Act, which is proper notice.
So what do you intend to do? What can you do? What should be the result of this?
Well, all we can do is complain to them and say, can you please stop violating the Brown Act? The intent of the Brown Act is transparency and public participation. That's the intent of it. I'm sorry if I said transparency. That's correct.
No, that's right.
So if the board makes a decision regarding a Brown Act covered item, they should always err on the side of transparency and public participation. They did not do that this past Tuesday. They erred on the other side, the wrong side. What can we do about it? You know, Janet, I can say Election Day's coming here in a couple of days. Our founding fathers, even right after our republic was founded, said, hey, it's a republic if you can keep it, right? You need honor, integrity, and morals and all that to keep it. But you know what? They have to be held accountable because our current board, as seated, has made, I'm not going to repeat anything over the last few months, and they have made a multitude of bad decisions regarding constitutional issues, individual rights, etc. Brown Act, limiting the Brown Act due to a state law. I'm just saying, we have, and I'll say this and then I'll go. If you allow these same people to remain in office, this behavior will only get worse. It's not going to get any better.
Well, I applaud you for being careful and watching and pointing out when they stray from what they should be doing. Thank you, Rich, for your efforts continually. I know you take a lot of heat for it.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, and good show. Thank you.
Thanks, Rich. Okay, state split. Is it legal? Can the state of California actually be separated according to the Constitution? And, of course, the answer is yes. Article 4, Section 3 of the U.S. Constitution outlines the procedure for splitting a state or creating a new state out of an old state or two states out of an old state. So, yes, it's legal. There is nothing unconstitutional about it. And the Declaration of Independence, which is actually our founding document, that is what established our country. It's what said we are now our own government, our own country. We are no longer under the control of Great Britain. And the Declaration says that citizens have an obligation to withdraw their consent of government when that government becomes onerous, when it becomes too powerful, when it is no longer meeting the needs of the people. So a state split is going back to that Declaration of Independence and saying, you know, guys, you're not meeting our needs anymore, and nice knowing you, thank you, but I think we're going to go our own direction now. I know a lot of people think that it will never happen, that it can't be, why would you bother? But if you don't try, no, it won't happen. Obviously, James Gallagher came up with the idea of a state split this time around, but it did not come out of nowhere. The state of Jefferson people have been working for years, pointing out the unfairness of what's happening within California to a large portion of the population. James Gallagher took his position of power in the legislature to say something's wrong. Let me suggest a solution. So it can happen when enough people realize that they are no longer in control of their own government, that they are under the suppression of a majority that has become tyrannical, and that we deserve representation under our republic. We have a caller, Lori. Lori, are you here?
Yes, hey, good morning, Janet. You're doing awesome.
Thank you.
as usual. I want to insert just one topic. I don't know if it's been covered much at all, but these AI data centers that are going all over the place, apparently here in America we've got 4,000, overwhelming abundance of them. And I just want to give people a resource to look at. I've watched maybe close to 40, 45 different videos on the topic, and Newsmax released one, I think, 2 days ago with a geoengineering expert, Kristen Magan. She was a whistleblower. Anyway, she's part of one of two guests. It's an eight-minute, very short video on Rumble, and it's about the sound and loud pollution, the water impact. So they're going to all these rural areas where it affects the cattle, the sheep, the animals. It affects, obviously, young children developing and growing because it's a constant blaring sound, ruining the real estate. They have almost no water pressure. Some people maybe heard about Mr. O'Leary from Canada. Massive, the largest one in Utah. Anyway, I was hoping this could be a topic. You know, it's, I don't even know if we even have one nearby here in Shasta County or not, but they go for these smaller areas. They pay a lot of money for our people, few people to set it up and get it going, and then the AI starts to track, monitor, surveil. So back to what Mark Baird was saying earlier as a caller, this cutting your own throat. We're not told this. I had no idea how much this has been in place. So I just want to put that out there. It's called Newsmax, which is N-E-W-S-M-A-X, uncovers dark reality of AI centers. 8 minutes, 27 seconds. It's astonishing. And they're coming after places like Shasta County is my interpretation. So that, I just wanted to share that, Janet.
Thank you. And they're going any place where there is water because these data centers need massive amounts of water for cooling for all of the equipment that is used inside. And they do go to rural areas where they're not likely to get a lot of pushback and where the water is available and where the land is cheap. So thank you, Lori. That is an issue that should be looked at very carefully because it's going to sneak up on us. We have a caller, Dave.
Hello.
Good morning.
I wanted to talk about the state split and Butte County. And in 2014, the county supervisors flat out refused to consider it. And since then, they've gotten worse. They pushed and got a countywide sales tax increase. So now Chico and Oroville pay 9.25% sales tax, higher than Sacramento and San Francisco. So all you got in Butte County are rhino scum and whacked out progressives. And I don't think they're ever going to go for a state split, unfortunately.
I agree with you. It has always been kind of an iffy county. Any place there is a university tends to lean to the left, and we understand that. And I know that in 2014, yes, Butte County refused to go along with a state split declaration, but so did Shasta County. But Shasta County changed its mind this time around, so maybe there's hope. I don't know how bad it has to get before people decide to try to make it better. So a nine.
Now maybe when we get a 10.25% sales tax, they might wake up a little bit, I hope. But we've got a lot of these, you know, really whacked out liberals from Southern California and the Bay Area moving up here, and there just seems to be more and more of them with each passing year, unfortunately.
Well, they want to escape the horrible things that they created in the Bay Area and other urban areas, and then they bring their same ideas up to Butte County and Shasta County and reconstitute what they were running from, and it makes no sense.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And when you try to talk to them and say, well, why did you leave? And then, you know, they just, it's like, why are you bringing that here? And then they price out the people here, you know. They take the resources from people here, and they bid up the housing, they bid up everything. So it's just because they can sell their houses for a lot of money in those areas. So anyway, it's just a really bad situation.
Well, thank you for the update on Butte County. We did not hold great hopes that they were going to endorse the state split. But it is an area closer to James Gallagher's home turf. So at what point does it get so bad that you finally realize you have to do something different? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for calling in, Dave. Well, folks, I don't know. The way that James Gallagher's state split works well is that all of the states are contiguous. They all, one touches another, so it's not broken up. There is another state split proposal from New California, and its problem is that there's no continuous relationship among the counties for how they're going to separate the state. They have California over in the Bay Area. They have California in the Sacramento area and California in the LA area. So these are three spots that would still be California, but they're separated by the rest of California. It does not make good sense. I have looked into New California. It's not my favorite separation idea. James Gallagher's proposal has been suggested as being at the government level, but we are the government. The government is not some entity that exists separate from the people. And James Gallagher is not talking to the government about state split. He's talking to the people. It takes people on the Board of Supervisors to support the initiative. It takes people to go to the board meetings and express their support. It takes people to make this happen. It is not government filtering down to the people. It is the people working together to tell government what they need and what they want supported. It is with the consent and the support of the people that James Gallagher's initiative for a state split will work. It is not government down. It is people up, as it always has been and always should be, to get something done. So go to californiastatesplit.com and you will see information about a proposal, which is not exactly James Gallagher's, but it is an idea of what we would like to see happen. Why do we need a state split? Well, first of all, look at the complexity of the California Constitution. It is 308 pages long. It is a thick paperback book. The U.S. Constitution is pocket-sized. You can put it in your back pocket and not know it's there. A proposed constitution for the state of Jefferson, which could work for the entire state separated from California, it's 38 pages long. It has 14 articles. It is a proposal for a state that would work. We have constitutional oversight in a state of Jefferson constitution. We have a Department of Constitutional Review that would not allow unconstitutional laws to take effect. In California, it happens all the time. Jerry Brown, our previous governor, was famous for saying, well, yeah, the legislature passed it, but it's unconstitutional. But I'm going to go ahead and sign that and let the courts figure it out. So we have unconstitutional legislation that was never intended to be acceptable, but it goes to the courts, and of course that costs money. The biggest difference between what we have now in California and what is proposed by the state of Jefferson is where the power comes from. In the state of Jefferson, a state split that could work, we have the counties as the source of power, the counties that are closest to the people, the counties that would be telling the state what the counties are going to do. The money would come through the counties and go to the state. So if a tax is collected in the county would keep the money and send a portion to the state for state expenditures. All kinds of ideas, all things that could happen if we had a republic, if we were in charge of our own government, if the people were in charge and the consent of the people was necessary. This is Janet Chandler, and I am all for the state of Jefferson.
You can go your own way.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Attention, affiliates.